Welcome this morning to the services of the Lord's house for this, the third Sunday after Pentecost. We are here to receive the forgiveness of our sins from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the strengthening of our faith to live out our lives in holy faith. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Voices Raised to You We Offer.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 14th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Darren Jacob, Diane Breen, and Ken Richard. The opening hymn is number 795, Voices Raised to You We Offer, hymn number 795 in the Lutheran Service Book. Delane and Brittany Dirtle are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in honor of their 12th wedding anniversary on June 7th. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Josh and Rachel Welker's 14th anniversary on June 2nd. Joanne Marlin is sponsoring the flowers on the piano to the glory of God in memory of Eleanor Gunderman's birthday on June 19th.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered together to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us all our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness endures to all generations.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty eternal God, in the word of your apostles and prophets, you have proclaimed to us your saving will. Grant us faith to believe your promises that we may receive eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the sacrament of holy baptism, what does such baptizing with water indicate?
It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever.
Where is this written?
St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life."
The epistle reading from Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without pain, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet, for when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the words of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, if there's any children present who'd like to come forward for a children's message, feel welcome to do so. Morning, fellas. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
You know, there in our gospel reading today, okay, in our gospel reading, there's a neat sentence, a wonderful sentence. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And this compassion, okay, in the language that the Bible was originally written in, I think, I'm searching my memory here, okay, we might say in our language, you know, his heart went out to them. The scripture in the Greek might say, this is a fun word, okay? Maybe you can say it after I say it. Splagidzomai. Can you say that? Splagidzomai. And maybe you can say, splunkna. Splunkna, splunkidzomai. What is the Bible trying to say through those words? It's trying to say Jesus saw these people and his His guts went out to him. His guts went out to him. Now that's kind of odd, isn't it? But I bet you know what it's like to have your guts all messed up. You ever been scared and get that twisty feeling in your stomach? Yeah? You ever been super happy and you're all giddy in your belly? Oh, I bet you have. Yeah. Now, normally we say for where our emotions are at, our emotions are in our heart, right? But ancient people, they said our emotions, where our emotions are at, is here. And here goes out to people. You feel for them. You are happy for them. You hurt for them. And when Jesus looked at the people, his guts went out to them. And he had compassion. It means he wanted to take care of them. He wanted to do something for them. He had compassion on the people. For they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know a lot about sheep. I think I know a few things about sheep, especially domesticated sheep. What does the shepherd do for the sheep?
He takes care of them.
Exactly. He takes care of them. He keeps them safe. He leads them to where the good water is to drink. Right? He leads them to where good food is. He, like King David, when he was a shepherd, you know, he fought off lions and bears, you know, and protected the sheep. Now, if the sheep, because, look, maybe in books or on a farm you've seen sheep. Maybe you've been to a petting zoo and you've seen a sheep or something like that. Do they have fangs?
No.
Do they have claws?
No.
No. Do they bark loud?
No.
No, they make a different kind of sound. Do they look very fierce?
No,
generally they don't. And so if there was a dangerous predator out there, a lion, a bear, wolves, do you think you're going to be able to defend themselves?
No.
Not really, not very well. And so the shepherd protects and defends and watches over them. And Jesus had compassion. So he said to his disciples, go out into the world and heal diseases and tell everybody the good news of the forgiveness of our sins through the work of the Savior of the world, who is Jesus himself. And so the best healing that Jesus can give us, the best protection that Jesus can give us, is protecting us from sin. And for that, he died on the cross. He died on the cross so that we might have everlasting life. And he died and rose again to protect us from sin, death, and the devil. And so we thank Jesus for what he has done for us. We thank him for his heart or his guts or whatever we want to say going out to us, and for his having compassion on us. Let's thank him now. We pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for having compassion on us. Thank you for your heart going out to us. Thank you for your emotions and your love and your care and compassion going out to us. And thank you for bringing us to our heavenly home through the waters of holy baptism and through the grace that you have provided in your death and your resurrection, so that when you return again, we would be called to glory and live forever in your new kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, all, thank you for coming down. Why don't you head back to where your folks are sitting? And we'll continue our service with the singing of our next hymn, On Eagle's Wings.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 727, On Eagle's Wings, hymn number 727 in the Lutheran Service Book. Sermon text this morning from our epistle reading, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, human beings have been in search of a way to connect with the divine, to search out and to find God, to attain to eternal life.
what we had originally, the communion with God, the walking with God, and the relationship with God, all of that was busted up. It was smashed. It was broken in the sin of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve succumbed to temptation, and they ate of the forbidden fruit. And there in the Garden of Eden, there was God's law and His gospel. There was God's law. Don't eat of these trees. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of the tree of the tree of life. As far as God said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. And we confess, we believe, we teach and confess that this is no myth. It is no story. This is history. This is how sin entered into the world there in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of creation. This is the account of how human beings became estranged from God. After listening to Satan and partaking of the fruit of the tree, the eyes of both Adam and Eve were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and the relationship with God was broken. And in an act of grace and mercy, God cast them out of the garden. Now, that doesn't seem like an act of grace or mercy at all, but in fact, casting them out of the garden was indeed an act of grace and mercy. Can you imagine if God let them succumb to the temptation to eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever? Immortality. Forever. I mean, it sounds great, never dying. But could you imagine living with the effects of sin in your body, in your flesh? All the effects of sin. And it just continuing to get worse and worse and yet never dying. And you imagine living in chronic pain all of the time, living with dreaded diseases, but never have the release of death. Immortality with the effects of sin within our flesh. Eyes failing, joints wearing out, the never-ending pain of cancer or arthritis, but no death. No death to stop it. Yes, death is now our enemy, but by the grace of God in removing Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, we do get to die. Now, because of that first sin, and by the way, what is sin? Okay. You know, I mentioned that last week. What is sin? You know, think about that for a minute. What is sin? We say it all the time. The effects of sin, the first sin, there's this sin. Sin is everything that we do that violates God's holy will and God's law. That's what sin is. It is a denial. It is a declaration of our independence from God. That's what sin is. Sin is every thought, word, and deed that separates us from God and makes us rebels. And we deserve, because of sin, nothing but God's punishment. But, Pastor, God is love. So how can He condemn and punish sinful human beings? Things just don't seem to go together. They don't seem right. Well, it is true that God is love. But God is also just and righteous and holy. In God's justice, He punishes sin. And every one of us, every single one of us commits sin. And you also know quite well, we have, each and every one of us, what is called original sin. That sin that we are born with. That sin that we have that is inherited from our parents all the way back to Adam and Eve. And it is because of original sin that we are born blind, dead, and enemies of God. We have our fists balled up and we shake it under His nose and we say, I will do what I want to do. Get out of my business. Leave me alone. And yet, at the exact same time, we so long and desire to be in His good graces, to please God and to receive His favor and be accepted into eternal life in heaven. So what does man go and do? listen to the words of the Bible and follow that path to eternal life? Of course not. Of course not. Man instead chooses to invent his own paths, his own ways to eternal life and to eternal salvation, his own path to heaven. And whatever religion there is in the world, whatever religion there is that human beings have invented, there you will find a pathway to heaven. And what does that pathway to heaven consist of? It consists of following the rules of whatever deity is being worshipped and hoping that you will make said God happy. Happy enough that when you die, you get to go to heaven. All these religions and so-called gods, they are really false gods. They don't save. In fact, as we have said before, there are only two religions in the world. There is Christianity, which teaches salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's everybody else. Every other religion, which is simply a religion of law, religion of works. There is only one good news. There is only one gospel religion, one religion that is revealed through God's prophets and apostles, one religion of grace. Every other religion in the world is invented by man and are religions of works. Let's hear from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Nobody by doing is going to be righteous in God's sight. It's impossible. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your way to the glories of heaven. And if we can't earn our salvation, if we cannot earn our way to the glories of heaven, what is it that we do? How do we achieve this eternal salvation? What did God do? Well, you know what God did. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be born as a baby in Bethlehem. The infinite, uncreated Son of the true and living God became enfleshed for us and for us. And in our place, he kept the whole will and law of God. He did it perfectly. And as God in the flesh, his work was good, not just for one person, not just for 10 or a handful of people. As God in the flesh, his work was good for all people, for all of humanity. God became human to give us life and to give us a relationship with him. You see, I don't save me. You don't save you. I don't do the work. You don't do the work. That is precisely why it's called being saved. If I could do it by myself, then I would just do it. However, by nature I have sin, and by my nature I have failed. Christianity addresses the sin problem and offers me the peace that comes with having the sin problem taken care of. This is true for all of us. This is true for all of us who are confessing Jesus as our Savior. Everyone who confesses Jesus as their Savior has the peace, has the certainty of being given a new life in the resurrection. And not because you have merited it, not because you have done anything that earns it, but rather quite the opposite. Precisely because you can't earn it, because you can't merit it. It is not your own, but it becomes your own because Christ has given his life for you. In Christ you have a peace that does not fade. You have a promise that is secure. Trust that is at the heart of everything. Evidence-based trust, to be sure, but trust nonetheless. Most religions in the world promote a moral way of living, a moral way to eternal life. And if in the end your deeds are good enough, and your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you get into whatever heaven they promise. And many people say, okay, I'll do that. They'll do their best, and they'll hope that God will be kind to them. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity at all. That is what we call a merit-based religion, with acceptance at the end of the relationship. When were you accepted by God? From the beginning, at the start, God chose you. He reached down from heaven. He baptized you in the waters of the holy sacrament of holy baptism. He made you His own child. He picked you. He chose you. He gives you eternal life. He does it first, so that you are assured of eternal life. He does it so that you can be assured that it is true and it is right and it is real and it is going to be yours because He did it. Anything that you do leaves room for doubt. Anything that you do leaves room for maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. But God does, has no such uncertainty attached to it. What God does is true and right and correct. And will always be and has been declared to you and upon you and for you in the waters of your baptism through the word of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With Christianity, acceptance is at the beginning of your relationship with God. God does everything by grace and we accept His grace from Him. Trust for eternal life is not based on what I have done, but based on what Christ has done. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You are chosen in Christ. You are washed in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus' righteousness was placed on you in such a way that when God the Father looks upon you, He looks upon one washed in the blood of the Lamb, dressed in the white robes of Christ's righteousness. He sees you in a righteousness that is imputed to you, given to you. When you could not earn it, you could not pay for it, God chose you in Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you do have eternal life in Jesus. For in Jesus you are saved. In Jesus you are redeemed. In Jesus you are heirs of heaven. And in Jesus you are the children of God. And in that Jesus name, all God's people say, Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, when Adam and Eve rebelled and sin came into the world, all creation fell with them. Instead of destroying everything that you had made, you chose to redeem us. Thank you for sending your Son to pay for our sins, who through His work on our behalf has redeemed all creation. Now we and all you have made implore you for Christ's return, so that we may be fully set free from the bondage to sin and live forever in the glory of the new creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy Father, your Son warned His disciples of persecution for proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. Look with compassion on all who suffer for the sake of Jesus. Give them the words to confess Christ as their Savior. Deliver them from their enemies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of love, You gather a holy nation through your word of grace. Bless parents as they teach your ways to the children. Let your peace rest upon our homes, that the next generation may also be your treasured possession. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of all grace and comfort, through our prayers we ask you to attend to Nancy Olander, as it seems to our eyes she nears the end of her earthly pilgrimage. We pray, dear God, that your will be done, and that we accept your plan for Nancy as a manifestation of your grace and mercy. Strengthen the family who attends to Nancy, and strengthen them in their faith, so that their comfort would ever be in the confidence of eternal life. We also ask you to give earthly comfort to the family of Tom Osborne as they grieve his death. And help each of us, O Lord, to be prepared, for we do not know when the hour of our summons from this life will come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God of all comfort, give healing to the sick. Hear our prayers for Teresa Ricard as she continues her recovery, and for Sue Awe as her seizures continue to manifest in her body. We also pray for Tim Neitzel, who will undergo surgery tomorrow, and we ask that all go well and that Tim would recover swiftly from this surgery and return to the activities of his daily life. Bless, O Lord, the hands of the surgeons that will attend to him, and may his surgery go swiftly and smoothly. Grant that Teresa and Sue and Tim may come to healing to the glory of your name. We pray also for the wounded in spirit and those who grieve the losses that have wounded them in heart and soul. Make them whole and give them courage and comfort in their distress. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O blessed Lord, through Moses you called a people to yourself, and from them you delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his suffering and death, he has redeemed us sinners from our sins. By his resurrection, he has released us from the fear of death. Help us live as your people, doing the good works for which we were created, and praying with confidence the petitions and supplications of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise as we pray the prayer our Lord taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart by the patience and comfort of your holy word. We may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. The closing hymn is number 392, God Loves Me Dearly, hymn number 392 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. I'll have one announcement this morning. For those who signed up, those the youth group members who signed up to go bowling today. Bowling is at, I believe, 12:50. Yeah, 12:50 at Logan Lanes. So meet there at Logan Lanes at 12:50, and parents pick them up from Logan Lanes at 3 o'clock. So that's for those who've already turned in their permission slips and already paid their $10 to go bowling with the youth groups today. And, you know, I'm sure you'll have a great time. There is really one reason and one reason only to go bowling, in my humble opinion. And that is the greasy food from the cafeteria in the bowling alley. It's fantastic. You can't beat it. So, and take some extra bucks with you and get something nasty and greasy and just wonderful. So may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.